before, but these folks just got back and from their survey trip, and we wanted to be able to have them. We have a burden for them. Their pastor called me. It's Pastor Caldwell. Many of you know him very well. All of you that are in the college that are from West Virginia, you know him very well. And he is so good to be my friend and good to me. And several times being in Maryland, going back and forth, we had folks that had been in our mission conference here, and they were traveling, and I will call him and said, there's going to be a missionary in your area. Would you have them in, or would you? And he just will, he's like, preacher, I don't have to have them. I'll take care of them. I'll help them. I'll do whatever it is that you need. And so he called me. He didn't call me very often, but he called me and said, preacher, would you help? Would your church help the Magners with their survey trip? They need some help with the survey trip. And I said, absolutely. And so we gave a good sum of money out of our missions budget to help these folks make it to their survey trip. And so I wanted you to know that, because if he mentions it and I didn't tell you that we did that, you didn't know, you're going to say, we did? Amen. And so, but I'll, amen. But as a church, I just want to say thank you. Many times we don't always know. You don't know everything that God does with the mission dollars around here. Amen. But you know that they go to the cause of Christ. And I'm thankful for having a list of missionaries that we pray for. And I'm thankful that we not only want to continue to support the ones we have for so many years, but take on brand new ones that want to go out and continue the work of Christ and start new ones in other places. So, Brother Magner, you come now. I don't know. I could see them turning on the video, so I think we must have a video. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much. You take care. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Parsons and Landmark Baptist Church. We are so grateful to be here, and thank you so much. As he just mentioned, the support that your church gave us, we would not have been able to take our survey trip without having the financial support and the prayer support and the love of people and great people like your pastor, Pastor Parsons, here. That we just got back from Europe 2 days ago, and we are so thankful for the opportunity to be able to be here. This is our very first missions conference as we are starting our pre-field ministry, as many people call it, deputation. And this has just been such a great week so far, and we're so thankful for the great missions house you've put us up in, and the great food, all the accommodations. It's been wonderful. You guys are setting the bar very high for our expectations for the future missions conferences, so thank you so much for that. Even this afternoon, we were able to go out and fellowship with Brother Tyler and some of the other missionaries, and that was such a great time. I wasn't planning on preaching on humility this evening, but for some reason the Lord thought that I needed another lesson this afternoon in humility, as he showed me through Brother Tyler and Brother Turbin that I don't know how to hit a golf ball. So praise the Lord, amen for that. But I promised, I took a shower, I washed my clothes, I put cologne on before I left the house. So if I still smell, it's only because I was talking to Brother Tyler before the service, so I apologize for that. I did take a shower, I promise. This is our first time being here, and we're, again, thankful to be here. We are loving getting to know each and every one of you. We do have a video we'd like to show, a little bit of an introduction about us so that you can get to know us a little bit and a little bit about the burden that God has put on our hearts. So after the video plays, I'll come back up and share a few more things. Thank you.
Buongiorno,
we're the Magners,
and we are missionaries to the people of Italy.
At the age of 7, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I was biblically baptized shortly after. When I was 15, I fully surrendered my life to the Lord. Immediately, He put on my heart to be a missionary to Italy. In 2019, God gave me the opportunity to go to Italy with a small church group. We spent the majority of the week helping the cooks in Reggio Emilia. During the week, around 40,000 John and Romans were distributed in that city. When our group returned to the States, my heart remained in Italy.
I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home to parents who planted a church in Western Massachusetts. At the age of 4, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and was biblically baptized soon after. Luke and I met at Galilean Baptist Church camp, and we became best friends when we were 15. At the age of 17, the Lord used Isaiah 6:8 to call me to missions. While Luke was attending New England Baptist College, he became very active in bus ministry, leading dorm devotions, organizing student prayer groups, teaching bus Sunday school, and preaching in New England churches. Luke and I were married in June of 2023.
During my senior year of college, we had the privilege of serving as bus captains at Central Baptist Church in Southington, Connecticut. In 2024, I graduated from New England Baptist College with a bachelor's degree in missions. Soon after, we moved to Martinsburg, West Virginia to take on the role of bus director at Faith Baptist Church. Our sending pastor, Dan Caldwell, has encouraged us to begin raising support so that we may be where God has called us as soon as possible. We are partnering with Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples. The land of Italy is widely known for its historic beauty. The Apennine Mountains run through the middle of the peninsula like a spine, while the Alps create the northern border. There are many popular cities and breathtaking sights. Although we love the beauty of Italy, the spiritual condition is very sad. Italy has a population of 60 million people. The aging society and low birth rates have caused a decline in population these recent years. The dominant religion is Catholicism, although fewer than 20% of self-proclaimed Catholics actively practice their faith. Many of the remaining population identify as atheist, agnostic, or non-religious. The Muslim population has been gradually increasing, largely due to immigration. A small minority identify as evangelical Christians, mainly Pentecostals and Jehovah's Witnesses. Catholicism has a strong hold over the people in Italy. It is a very dark religion, both spiritually and physically. The churches are filled with images of a vulnerable Jesus, while the people primarily pray to Mary. Catholicism gives a false hope that you can work and pay your way into heaven. Many have even left their entire estate to the Catholic Church upon their death because they believe this will help them get into heaven. Within the 107 provinces, there are currently about 10 good Baptist churches preaching in the Italian language. This means that 97 provinces have no gospel light shining in them. When we first arrive in Italy, we will be working with the Cook family in Reggio Emilia. Our primary focus will be to learn the language and the culture. We will immediately begin helping the Cooks and getting involved at Chiesa Baptista La Verità. As we learn more of the language, we will be able to help more in the church. In the future, we plan on helping the Cooks and other missionaries in Italy with translation and recording of Christian books and Christ-honoring music.
Hello, my name is Brandon Cook, and this is my lovely wife, Kristen. We are the Cook Family Missionaries of Italy. We've been here for 11 years. We've planted the Chiesa Baptista La Verità, the Truth Baptist Church, here in Reggio Emilia over 8 years ago, and we thank God for what he's doing here. We're praying that we can be a part of planting a church in each one of the 107 provinces here in Italy. And we're praying that the Magner family, Luke and Vivian Magner, could come alongside us and help with this launch 107. And so we thank God for this wonderful family coming alongside of us and wanting to be a part of every bit of this. And they've been over here and they've worked with us for a couple of weeks. And we've seen their heart, we've seen their love for the Italian people, and we've seen their desire to jump right in and help in any way possible that they can. I know they're going to be a great help, so we thank God for you, for praying for them. Number one, keeping up with them and even coming to see them when they come over here to Italy. But also, we pray that you can support them financially, and we thank God for you. Thank you so much for all that you can do. Amen. Hallelujah.
We are praying that God will show us when and where to plant new churches. Our prayer is to see all 107 provinces have a Baptist church, like yours, preaching in the Italian language. This means praying for 96 pastors, 106 assistant pastors, and 106 permanent buildings. We know that God has the ability to save lost souls, and we are praying for the Holy Spirit to show the people of Italy that they need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. Please pray for us.
Thank you so much for showing that video for us. I apologize, I didn't even introduce myself at the beginning. My name is Luke Magner. My wife is Vivian Magner. We are missionaries to Italy. Excuse me, a little bit nervous this evening. I am not quite yet used to speaking in front of large crowds and in front of even small crowds of any size. But as mentioned in the video, there are 107 provinces in Italy. And at the end, I mentioned that we are praying for 96 pastors, 106 assistant pastors, and 106 buildings. That's because out of the 107 provinces, one of them has a church that has their own building at the moment. There's a pastor and assistant pastor. They're working together, have a great work going on. And then 9 other provinces do currently have a church. They do not have their own building. They do not have assistant pastors. They are either a national pastor or missionaries that are working all by themselves. So we are praying that God will send more laborers, that God will provide the buildings to be able to have a good Baptist church like this one in all 107 provinces of Italy. When I was in college, I asked pastors that would come through, do you know any missionaries in Italy? I wanted to build contacts. I wanted to get to know the missionaries that were there in the mission field that God had called me to. And unfortunately, many of them told me no. It wasn't until just this past year that I started to learn of more than 2 or 3 about those 10 or so that I told you about. So please do pray for Italy. We ask that you would please pray for us as we are here in the States at the moment, raising our support so that we may be able to go to Italy where God has called us to be able to share the gospel, to see lives changed, to see people get saved, and to see churches planted in unreached areas. I think of the song that the lady so beautifully sang just a few moments ago, A World We Never Touch. And it seems that Italy is a world that is not touched with the gospel right now. It's overrun by Catholicism and by false religions. And they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would pray for us as we go about into Italy where God has called us. So thank you so much. I do want to mention that I apologize last night. Many of you came up asking for a prayer card. I appreciate that. If you would come to our table tonight, we do have prayer cards fresh off the print. So thank you so much, Brother John. I appreciate you helping us out with that this afternoon. Brand new prayer cards. You can be within the first 10 people still to get. I think about 5 people have come and got some. So be the first ones at the table. You can be number 10, all right? Come get our prayer card for us and pray for us. And that would just be such a blessing. We'll be in the book of Exodus. We've been told by many, many times by missionaries that pre-filled ministry is, it's hard to stay in shape. You travel a lot, sitting in the car. You eat tons of amazing food that the churches supply, like you guys have done for us this week. And you just gain a ton of weight. We've had a lot of missionaries tell us you need to find some way of being active to stay in shape on pre-filled ministry. Well, last night, I think I figured out how to do that. And Brother Woodard was walking around up and down these stairs. He was walking all over the church. Man, I was just tired just watching him. I can't imagine what it was like for him. I have no idea how he stayed, was able to keep his breath. I don't think his voice cut out at any point. I thought he was going to faint at one point, but he was good. Praise the Lord. That was an amazing message. I appreciate that, Brother Woodard. And I'm glad that we could pick on each other a little bit this afternoon. That was fun. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, the message the Lord put on my heart to share with you this evening, I've entitled it, Excuses Against God's Will. Excuses Against God's Will. If you'll think of when the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, they were being treated horribly. They were beaten and abused every day, forced to do hard labor. They were in this terrible situation for hundreds of years. And during that time, they cried out to God for deliverance. Well, God heard their cries, amen, and was going to deliver them. Moses, he was in the land of Midian. He was hiding because he had killed an Egyptian, and he ran to Midian to get away from the shame and from the judgment. He hides out there for 40 years, during which he gets married, and he helps take care of his father-in-law's flocks. This is where we're going to pick up in our story in Exodus chapter 3. Would you mind standing with me for the reading of God's word, if that's all right, as we read the first couple of verses in Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face,
for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, I loved the opportunity to be able to share your word and what you put on my heart. And I'm so thankful that we are able to be here at this missions conference this week, and so much for this church that they have done. And thank you so much for calling us to go to the people of Italy and share the gospel with them. Lord, I pray that in these next few moments, you would calm my heart and calm my mind. Help me to put the other distractions aside to be able to share this this message that you have put on my heart. That it would be a blessing, an encouragement, and a challenge to each one here this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you please be seated at this time? In verse 10, we saw that God chose Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. Let me read verse 10 for you once again. It says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Could you imagine being chosen to do that? I mean, think of leading a parade of a million people through the mountains, as I mentioned, the mountains in Italy, through the woods and the wilderness. Quite the task that would be. I can't even imagine doing that. But God chose Moses to do exactly that. I like what one preacher said, when man needs something done, they raise up a committee. But when God needs something done, he raises up a man. Even though men are sinful and wicked, God still can use someone who's willing to be used. God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. There's something that God wants you specifically to do. However, not everyone is willing to be used. Some people fight against God's will. Some people will ignore it completely. Some people will make excuses. Well, Moses was one who made excuses. And what we will see this evening is that God had a plan for every excuse. So we're going to look at four excuses against God's will. Number one, we'll read actually verse number 11 of chapter 3. The excuse that Moses will make is, who am I? Verse number 11 says, and Moses said unto God, who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? The excuse, who am I? This is a very common excuse. Honestly, it's an excuse that I have used before. God, who am I that you want to use me? I mean, let's be honest. I'm just a short man. I have a weird voice. I'm not very confident. I don't like speaking in front of people. I don't like talking to strangers. I don't like confrontation. God, who am I? Why would you call me? Why would you want to use me? Who am I? People often think that they are not worthy to be used of God. And to be honest with you, it's true. We're not worthy to be used of God. I think of Isaiah when he saw the Lord on his throne and he saw the seraphims. They were flying around. They were crying, holy, 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 as the Lord God Almighty. And in the presence of God, he realizes and he says, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Would you turn to Isaiah 64:6 real quick? Isaiah, he knows how unworthy he is. He realized how unworthy he is to be used by God. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 6. The Bible says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We are nothing in the sight of God. He is so holy, he is so perfect, we are so wicked, and we are so insufficient. But God is gracious and is loving, and he wants to use anyone who is willing to be used of God. If you're back in Exodus chapter 3, would you look at verse number 12, our text this evening, Exodus chapter 3, verse number 12, and he said, this is God returning back to Moses, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. God said, I will be with thee. This is such a great comfort to the Christian because God, who created the world, he created everything that we can see around us, God spoke it into existence. He is the one who controls the weather, whether it's going to be hot or cold. He's the one who provides the rain for the plants. He provides the food for the animals. He is the one who is everywhere at all times. He knows everything always. He knows the future just as well as he knows the past. This is the one who says, I will be with thee. Genesis 15, 21, he says, I fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Genesis 26, 24, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. And behold, I am with thee. Deuteronomy, fear not, neither be discouraged. Isaiah, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee. Jeremiah, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. For I am with thee to save thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Over and over again, God says, fear not, I am with thee. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. If you're saved this evening, the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. He guides us, and he has everything under control. So often we hear the excuse, or even we use the excuse, who am I? But God says, I am with thee. Don't worry about who you are, because I am with thee. That's what's important. So Moses used the excuse, who am I? Well, God had an answer. I am with thee. Number two, Moses used the excuse, what is his name? He was saying on whose authority? Look at verse number 13. We'll see what is his name. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Basically, this is the fear of people saying, well, what gives you the right? It's kind of similar to the first excuse of who am I, except now it's from the fear of the point of view of the other person, other people looking at you and saying, who are you? Who sent you? On what authority do you come? Well, let's find out. Verse number 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. God is your authority. The God of their fathers was the same God that sent Moses to deliver them. The same God that sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. He is the only God. God gives us the right. God gives you the right to live for him, to do what's right, to tell others the gospel. On God's authority, I will follow his will. Verse 14, I am that I am. The Hebrew words here have the idea to exist. God is. Period. God is. I love that God used the present case in this answer. I wrote in my study Bible next to this verse, God is everything I need. God is. That means every hour, wherever I need him, he is there. On any day, whatever I need, God is. He is the great I am. We might think, well, I am what? But God says, no, I am, period. Throughout the Bible, God said, I am thy shield. I am the Lord. I am the Almighty God. I am with thee. I am with thee and will keep thee in all places. I am God Almighty. I am holy. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. I am the first and I am the last. I am the Lord that maketh all things. I am the Lord and there is none else. I am he that comforteth you. I am with thee to deliver thee. I am merciful. I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee. That's just from Genesis to Jeremiah. I could keep going if we had all night. God said, I am everything. I am. Moses' excuse. Well, what if they say to me, on whose authority? God said, I am. His third excuse. We're actually going to skip down to the beginning of chapter number 4. Moses' third excuse. They will not believe me. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Now Moses is saying that the people, well, they're just not going to believe them. They're not going to believe what he says. And I mean, why should they? Moses, he killed an Egyptian, and then he ran away to the wilderness. He's been gone for 40 years. And all of a sudden, he shows up, and he's like, hey, everybody, God sent me to deliver you. Come on, come with me. Come on, follow me. I mean, why should they believe him? Verse number 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it, amen, as he should have. It's a snake. Verse number 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. What I love about this is in verse number 2, God says, what is that in thine hand? And God uses the rod that Moses already had with him. All Moses had to do was obey. God took care of the rest. God was the one who turned the rod into a snake and then back into a rod when Moses picked it up. All Moses had to do was drop it on the ground. It became a snake. He fled away. And then God said, pick it up. And all he had to do was pick it up. Moses just had to be obedient. God took care of the rest. But here's what I also love about this lesson is God used what Moses already had. Moses already had the rod with him. And when God calls us to do something, he has already equipped you with what you need to fulfill his will that he has called you to do. He is the one who's going to take care of everything. He's going to do the miracles that are necessary if you will just obey. If God wants you to be a businessman, be a businessman. If God wants you to be a doctor, be a doctor. If God wants you to be a truck driver, a grocery store worker, if God wants you to be a pastor or a missionary, just be obedient because God has already equipped you with what you need to fulfill his word. I mean, you need to do a little more schooling, go to college, or maybe continue to learn a little bit more. Maybe you need to mature a little bit more. But the point is, God is equipping you, has equipped you, and will provide the miracles necessary to fulfill his word that he has called you to if you'll just be obedient. If Moses said, no, this is my special rod. I hand carved it out of a log. It took me many hours. I carried around with me all the time. This is my rod. I'm not going to drop it. I don't want it to touch the ground. God wouldn't have been able to do the miracle. God would not have been able to prove himself more to Moses and in the future being able to prove himself to the people that Moses had to go talk to. All Moses had to do was drop the rod and obedience. Even verse 6, God even gives another sign by doing another miracle as even more proof. Verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Just another miracle, another proof. God is showing to Moses that he is the one in control. He will take care of everything. And if they don't believe Moses, God was going to do these miracles to prove that he was speaking on God's authority. The answer to Moses' excuse, well, they will not believe me. God gave him an answer. God did the miracles because Moses was obedient. His fourth excuse, we'll find it in verse number 10. His fourth excuse, I am of slow speech. I am of slow speech. Would you look at verse number 10 of chapter 4 of the book of Exodus? And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Here is yet another excuse from Moses, and yes, often an excuse from us. The Holy Spirit tells us to go share the gospel with someone, and we say, God, I can't speak. I'm not a good public speaker, or I don't like to talk to people. I don't know the words to say. All these excuses that we tell God, and look at God's response, verse number 11. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thee, with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. God says, I made your mouth, and I will be with you. I'll give you the words to say. Just go in obedience. Never forget, God created everything. He controls everything, and we are supposed to be obedient. God commanded us to share the gospel. So go share the gospel. If you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. If you have faith, he will give you the words to say. Would you look at John chapter 14? Turn over there quickly if you can. John chapter 14 in your Bibles. We'll read verse number 26. God will be with you. He will give you the words to say. John 14, verse 26. Jesus is speaking. He says, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit from the Father, will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Think of Acts 1:8 says, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. God said not to fear. So we need to be obedient and fulfill the Great Commission, going, preaching the gospel, baptizing believers, and creating more disciples. All these excuses that Moses makes, yet every time God has an answer. God has a plan. When God tells us to do something, when God shows us his will for our life, it is so easy to make excuses. But we need to obey in faith. God is in control. So what excuses are you making today? Are you like Moses saying, Who am I? Who am I that I can be used by God? Are you saying, What is his name? What is the authority that I can go out on? Are you saying, They will not believe me. They're not going to trust what I say. Are you saying, I am of slow speech. I can't go out and tell people. Or even something else. Any other number of excuses you can come up with. Maybe your excuse is that you are not saved. Well, would you get that settled tonight? Please come to Pastor Parsons, come to me or anyone in this church and let them take the Bible, the Word of God, and show you how Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins so you don't have to spend eternity in hell. He rose from the dead after 3 days. The Bible says if we believe this in our heart, we trust in the Lord, and we call upon the name of the Lord, we can be saved. And our eternal destination is changed from hell into heaven. If you'll trust him and call upon the name of the Lord, please do that tonight if you've not done that before. What is the excuse that you are making tonight? Whatever your excuse is, God has an answer, and God will provide if we will just be obedient. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for your word and these lessons we can learn from Moses, from the example that you gave us. Thank you so much for being the great I am that is there for us all the time. Thank you so much for providing if we will just trust you and be obedient for the miracles you will do. Lord, I pray that you would help me personally not to make excuses against your will. I know you called me to go to Italy, and it would be very easy to make excuses not to do so. Lord, please help me not to make excuses. And each one that's in here, Father, would you just help them not to make excuses? And if they're making them already, if the devil's tempting them right now, if their flesh is eating at them to stay out of your will, Father, would you just have the victory in their life? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.